This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. A full day of emotions across Israel as families reunited with 20 surviving hostages held for more than 2 years in Gaza after the Hamas October 7th attacks. The mother of Bar Cooperstein receiving a phone call before his transfer by Hamas to the Red Cross. But other families are still waiting. Just 4 bodies of the 28 hostages killed were returned today. ABC's Ian Pannell is in Hostage Square in Tel Aviv.
They came together, the whole hostage and family movement, and they're still here, still active, still lobbying for the remains of the deceased hostages to be returned. They're upset that only 4 of the bodies will have been released by the end of today, accusing Hamas of reneging on the deal.
President Trump spoke to Israeli lawmakers and then traveled to Egypt for a summit with Arab, Muslim and European leaders, signing the peace plan that includes, he says, disarming Hamas and rebuilding Gaza. This is ABC News.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 1490 WLCX.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
If you were affected by the flooding earlier this year, you've got about a month left to apply for FEMA assistance. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
FEMA is accepting applications for flooding damage until November 12th. However, the Wisconsin Emergency Management Administrator, Greg Engel, recommends that people don't wait until the last minute. You will need to share information on the assistance application, such as your Social Security number, an annual household income, and a FEMA inspector will contact you to set up a time and date to perform an inspection. FEMA inspectors will always carry an official photo ID and never ask for any bank information or charge a fee for inspection. If you are unsure whether a visit or call is legitimate, contact the FEMA helpline to verify at 800-621-3362.
Are you interested in serving on a city committee? La Crosse's city government is currently looking for volunteers to serve on 8 different committees and boards, including the Redevelopment Authority, Police and Fire Commission, Neighborhood Revitalization Commission, Floodplain Advisory Committee, Housing Authority, Building and Housing Appeals Board, Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Committee, and Room Tax Commission. If you're interested, you can fill out an application on the City of La Crosse website. The City of La Crosse is holding public information and engagement sessions for its City Administrator Working Group. A proposed ordinance to add the position of City Administrator to the City of La Crosse will be decided upon by the La Crosse Common Council in February. The final information session is being held on October 14th. There have been 3 prior information sessions. The proposed ordinance would add a City Administrator, which would take on some of the responsibilities of the Mayor's Office.
You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now from your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Dodgers meet for Game 1 of the National League Championship Series at AmFam Field. The last time the Brewers made it this far was in 2018, when they lost in 7 games to this same Dodgers team. The Dodgers then advanced to the World Series, but lost to the Boston Red Sox in 5. College football. The Badgers, with another poor performance, losing 37-0 on homecoming to the Iowa Hawkeyes. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell.
Fall camp, I would tell you that we were in a better place. No, we're not better than most of the people, or maybe anybody right now that we're playing.
NFL, the Packers over the Bengals, 27-18. Green Bay running back Josh Jacobs led with 5 receptions, 18 carries, for a total of 150 yards and 2 touchdowns, even though he had the flu.
I really don't know where it came from. Just kind of woke up this morning just not feeling my best. I told him, I said, last time that I felt that way, I had 130 and 2 touchdowns. So it is what it is.
That's Josh Jacobs with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX. La Crosse's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy for tonight, a low in the mid-40s. For tomorrow, more clouds around, a shower or two possible as well, and cooler, a high in the low 60s. Wednesday looks mostly cloudy with a few sunny breaks and a high pretty close to 60. It's 69 degrees right now.
everybody, Todd Allball here. Did you know Packer Love is international? Join us Wednesday from the Marcus Theater in Waukesha for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life, the story of Japanese Packers fans.
There's a Wisconsin story about our state, our team, who we are, and then there's a universal story about people from all over coming together, regardless of culture, distance, language barrier, and finding amazing community over something completely unexpected.
Join us Wednesday, 2 to 4 for the Todd Allball Show.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Earth Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll talk a little bit about fighting authoritarianism and why Ken Burns, the great historian, has it right. And also, the Brew Crew in the NLCS. Be here.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people. This is the Maggie Dawn Show.
I wouldn't get on this program with all of you fine folks every day and talk about how to do that through voting and through speaking out. I'm here with you every day.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
What are you doing as an elected official? You have no business in an elected office.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Thank you for having me.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody, and happy Monday, one and all. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, I am so glad to announce the return of one of my favorite guests, a frequent contributor to the show, Mr. Tom Polsiewicz, a Navy veteran, a small business owner, and also a congressional candidate who made some inroads in the traditionally very red but now more purple Waukesha County. Welcome back to the program, Tom. It's great to have you with us.
It's great to be here again. I'd say a few things happened since last April. So I know we're going to talk about a whole bunch more today.
Yes, we are. And because Tom is here, because we're going to be visiting a number of different topics, all of them, of course, what's going on right now in the political atmosphere, we are going to denote this entire Monday show as a sound off Monday, which means that you, each and every one of you, get a chance to participate. If there are things on your mind as we get into some of our topics today, if you've got topics that you want Tom and I to address that we don't have going quite yet, you are free to call or text in 855-752-4842, especially as the government shutdown continues. Remember that Civic Media, and especially this show right here, the Maggie Dawn Show, we have created a dedicated email and phone line for you to tell us how the big, brutal bill, the shutdown, Donald Trump's willy-nilly billionaire-led slashing of federal agencies, now the firing of thousands of federal employees, how all of this nastiness is impacting your family. That dedicated email address is wematter@civicmedia.us. Again, that's wematter@civicmedia.us. Be sure to tell us your first name, where you're from, and what these impacts are. How are you feeling it? And if you would prefer to call in and leave us a voicemail message, 855-755-0771. Again, that's 855-755-0771. And folks, as I broadcast to you every day from WAUK here in southeastern Wisconsin, remember, we've got a brand new FM signal for you all to listen to Civic Media on. It's 100.3 FM, very strong signal all across southeastern Wisconsin. If you were looking for that FM signal, we got it for you now, so tell all your friends. Of course, I come to you across the Civic Media Talk Network. all the way up to Hayward, Wisconsin. We're now into Michigan, Minnesota, and the Chicagoland area. So, Tom, it's a great place, great time to be back with us here at Civic Media. Let's jump into a bit of the shutdown discussion. There was a fascinating back and forth between J.D. Vance and George Stephanopoulos on his Sunday morning talk show. It's this week on ABC. Yes. And George apparently isn't taking some of the bull pucky anymore from the vice president. Let's take a listen to this first exchange.
George, I saw media reports that Tom Homan accepted a bribe. There's no evidence of that. And here's, George, why fewer and fewer people watch your program and why you're losing credibility. Because you're talking for now 5 minutes with the Vice President of the United States about this story regarding Tom Homan, a story that I've read about, but I don't even know the video that you're talking about. Meanwhile, low-income women can't get food because the Democrats and Chuck Schumer have shut down the government. Right now, we're trying to figure out how to pay our troops because Chuck Schumer has shut down the government. You are focused on a bogus story. You're insinuating criminal wrongdoing against a guy who has done nothing wrong instead of focusing on the fact that our country is struggling because our government's shut down. Let's talk about the real issues, George. I think the American people would benefit much more from that than from you going down some weird left-wing rabbit hole where the facts clearly show that Tom Homan didn't engage in any criminal wrongdoing.
It's not a weird left-wing rabbit hole. I didn't insinuate anything. I asked you whether Tom Homan accepted $50,000, as was heard on an audio tape recorded by the FBI in September 2024, and you did not answer the question. Thank you for your time this morning.
No, George, I said that I don't.
Up next, we'll be right back.
Yeah, enough of that. Stephanopoulos followed up a little bit more. He went to commercial there because he didn't want to let the vice president effectively filibuster with a bunch of talking points in the blame game. Listen to this follow up.
The White House border czar Tom Homan was recorded on an FBI surveillance tape in September 2024 accepting $50,000 in cash. Did he keep that money or give it back?
George, you've covered the story ad nauseum. Tom Homan did not take a bribe. It's a ridiculous smear. And the reason you guys are going after Tom Homan so aggressively is because he's doing the job of enforcing the law. I think it's really preposterous. I know Tom. I think that he's a good man. He gets death threats. He gets attacked. He gets constantly threatened by people because he has the audacity to want to enforce the country's immigration laws. I think that it would be a much more interesting story about why is it that Tom Homan, who is simply enforcing Americans' immigration laws, is getting constantly harassed and threatened to the point of death threats. That's a much more interesting question that I think journalists should focus on. We can agree to disagree on that question.
Well, wait, you said he didn't take a bribe, but I'm not sure you answered the question. Are you saying that he did not accept the $50,000?
George, this story has been covered ad nauseum. He did not take a bribe. Did he accept $50,000? I'm sure that in the course of Tom Homan's life, he has been paid more than $50,000 for services. The question is, did he do something illegal? And there's absolutely no evidence that Tom Homan has ever taken a bribe or done anything illegal, which is why he's working in the administration.
I'm asking you, did he accept the $50,000 that was caught on the surveillance tape? Did he accept that $50,000 or not?
George, I don't know what you're talking about. Did he accept $50,000 for what?
Wow.
He was recorded on an audio tape in September 2024, an FBI surveillance tape, accepting $50,000 in cash. Did he keep that money?
Accepting $50,000 for doing what, George? I'm not even sure I understand the question. Is it illegal to take a payment for doing services? The FBI has not prosecuted him. I've never seen any evidence that he's engaged in criminal wrongdoing. Nobody has accused Tom of violating a crime, even the far-left media like yourself. So I'm actually not sure what the precise question is. Did he accept $50,000? Honestly, George, I don't know the answer to that question. What I do know is that he didn't violate a crime.
So you don't, what was caught on the tape, you're
heard,
saying right
we've
now.
Heard enough. We've heard enough. Folks, we're going to go to the phones in just a moment. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I do realize that the Supreme Court has said, but as long as you pay the bribe after the service has been provided, you know, that counts as a gratuity, it's not an ethical violation.
It's a tip, right?
Yeah, that's a tip. It sounds almost like that's right. What Vance is trying to say. But I found the vice president's responses to this to be laughable in the extreme. He's asking a pretty simple question. There's tape that he accepted $50,000 in cash. I'm not talking about his compensation over his lifetime, Mr. Vice President. I'm asking you, does Tom Homan today still retain possession of the $50,000 that FBI agents gave him in a sting operation? Pretty simple question.
Yes, very simple question with absolutely no answer. You know, one of the things I noticed about JD, though,
we might have a little breakup. Jacob, are you hearing Tom break up a little bit there? Yeah, we just lost Tom. We'll work to get Tom back. But this is the sort of thing that really deeply disturbs me. It's not a left-wing talking point. It's a reasonable question that someone who is in charge of billions and billions and billions of dollars of appropriations to deal with immigration law and border security appears to have been okay with accepting a bag of cash. If the FBI makes a judgment, or the U.S. attorney does, not to charge him, we have a right as the public to interrogate the whys behind that. It's not sufficient to simply say he wasn't charged with a crime. I don't know government officials in any circumstance who I would ever advise, hey, it's totally fine for you to take a bag of cash. Don't worry about that one. And I've advised government lawyers for a long time about ethics and conflicts of interest. This one just strains the imagination. Paul from Spooner, what you got for us this afternoon on the Monday edition of Sound Off?
I think what we've learned, I've seen a pattern over the last week or two, and we saw it with Stephen Miller, and I guess I'm going to ask you guys about it. When they make a statement, or if they want to make a statement, rather than telling the truth, they'll just make up some story that's go off for however many minutes. The other thing they've started doing is, like we saw with Stephen Miller the other day, is he freezes in the middle of the sentence. And we saw Pam Bondi did the same thing during her questioning. And we've now seen a dangling news lady doing the same thing. So their form of answers now is kind of like mums the word or just lie. If you can't make up a good lie, just mums the word, because you're not going to get any trouble that way. It just looks like a technical difficulty.
Yeah, Paul, thank you so much for that. Folks, we're rejoined by Tom Paulswitz, one of the most reasonable men in politics, frequent contributor here on my show. What you saw from Pam Bondi last week was an utter refusal to engage even with the substance of the senator's questions, which were perfectly reasonable, including did the bag man Tom Homan keep the bag of cash? She can't answer that. Have you seen pictures of the sitting president of the United States with young women in various stages of undress of indeterminate age? She couldn't answer that question. What is the legal standard? What is the limiting principle by which the U.S. Department of Defense is bombing boats that are not military vessels, that are not in an active attack on the United States? She couldn't answer that question. And on and on and on it goes. She couldn't answer questions about her own conflicts of interest and what she did to ensure that the decisions she was making about certain pay-to-play allegations and foreign agent advocacy allegations were cleared by career ethics lawyers in the Department of Justice. I don't pick the topic that senators, given their oversight responsibilities, were trying to ask about. She wouldn't answer the question. Whether it's J.D. Vance, Mike Johnson, the president himself, Kash Patel, or Pam Bondi, the pattern is the same. Deflect, attack, don't answer the question, and when all else fails, just out and out lie about it. Pam was on the attack line last week because she couldn't affirmatively lie because she had actually been sworn in. I think she still did lie repeatedly, but it's a boondoggle of epic proportions. Tom's back with us. Your thoughts on this pattern and practice that we see? You know, parties have talking points, but I'm talking about the refusal to answer reasonable journalistic questions about very problematic behavior, with whether it's child sex trafficking or Bagman Homan. Folks.
Oh, and I agree. I mean,
go ahead, Tom.
I think just to put this in a nutshell is they don't want to answer the questions. They feel offended even being asked.
which they have no grounds to be offended. You're an elected official or an appointee. That's your job when Congress actually engages its oversight duties. We'll continue with this discussion. On the other side, we're going to get into the cronyism, the corruption, all about Qatar. Cronyism, corruption, and Qatar. Stay tuned. Coming up next, right here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Join us, 855-75-CIVIC.
Eagle 1490 AM.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump still thinks he's a game show host at The Apprentice. Heard this great perspective about Tiffany not getting Trump's endorsement. If Josh Schumann feels like he's got to take some shots at Tiffany, which might weaken him, but it makes him look better to Trump to maybe get the endorsement, this is what Trump likes. He doesn't have any incentive to endorse Tiffany as long as he can keep playing him and Schumann off each other.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back, all. I'm Maggie Dawn, and happy Monday afternoon. We'll talk a little bit about the Brewers, probably a little bit closer to game time, because, boy, that was a barn burner on Saturday. I was there celebrating the Brewers getting the monkey off their back, the playoff monkey off their back, finally. But we've got a great guest with us for this entire Monday show dedicated to sounding off. What do I mean by this? Whatever topics you want to bring to the fore, our call and text lines are open. Jamie's going to help me keep track of what's coming in on the text lines. Thank you very much to my senior producer, Jamie. We got Jacob on the board queuing up the sounds to help make our conversation deeper this afternoon. And we've got our special guest, Tom Paulswitz, Navy veteran, small business owner, and two-time congressional candidate in the formerly ruby red, but now purple Waukesha County. I want to talk about the out loud corruption that we see happening in real time. The last time Donald Trump did a tariff flip-flop or did something really extreme, there were a few traders that we saw taking either short or long positions, making tens of millions of dollars overnight. Certainly seemed to be something, if you had a functional Securities and Exchange Commission, they would be looking at insider trading and leakages. Donald Trump waited until the markets closed on Friday, Tom, And then he announced that he was going to be taxing, everything from China at 100%. Now, there's been some back and forth, and I want to get to that in just a moment. But a brand new crypto account was apparently opened Friday morning. And 30 minutes before Trump announced these 100% Chinese tariffs across everything, in addition to the 30 plus odd percent tariffs that already exist, this crypto account opened a massive multi-million dollar leveraged Bitcoin short on certain investments. And then the market tanked. And that trader made nearly $200 million in 2 hours. This is reporting by Yahoo Finance. You can't make this stuff up. How would someone possibly know to do that? You can't figure out who owns the crypto account, because that's what crypto is. And the continued use and embrace of cryptocurrency by Donald Trump, who opposed it for such a long period of time, in his first administration. Now he's got meme coins, he's got stable coins that are bridge financing these multi-billion dollar transactions in the Middle East. You know, inquiring minds want to know what exactly is going on here. It's certainly very, very, very concerning. And while the $50,000 that Tom Homan, the bagman Homan, took, and it pales in comparison, if you can't even address that meaningfully, how do you possibly think the Department of Justice or the Securities and Exchange Commission or the FBI, how do you possibly think, even if Donald Trump, let's just assume for a moment that Donald Trump was engaging in some of the most overt and illegal corruption on the planet. If you are a MAGA follower, if you are a Trump supporter, do you think there's any chance on the planet that the FBI, SEC, or this Department of Justice investigates him or any member of his family? It's not going to happen. Let's just take a breath. We're going to go to the phones here. Kurt from Madison, what you got for us this afternoon?
Yeah, I apologize for maybe not staying exactly on topic, but Todd ended the show with military personnel in Texas. Yep. Standing in food lines. Now, as a veteran, this is the one thing that gets my blood pressure probably over 500 in less than 2 seconds. The idea that those who are providing security for this country are treated like a second-class citizen. Anytime they want to shut down the government, they want to play these stupid games. The very first people that not only get cut off and paid, but start getting fined is our legislators. This is unforgivable. There's just absolutely no, is everybody in this country asleep? Is everybody who lives and pays taxes, are we all asleep? We're not offended. We're not alarmed. We're not calling in and raising hell about this. I don't get it.
Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more, Kurt. You know, and Donald Trump saying, well, we'll take money from over here and use it to pay veterans over here. There's questions about that, its legality. But if you're willing to do that for members of the military, why are you talking about distinguishing between people that work in the federal government that you're going to somehow figure out if they're Democrats or Republicans, and the Republicans will get their back pay, but the Democrats won't? I mean, that's abhorrent, and it should be abhorrent to every American. But it is especially abhorrent to see the visual of members of the military. Again, this was in Texas, members of the military at a food pantry in line. Here's the broader picture. 53% of Americans now say groceries are a major source of stress. If you go on social media and you search for a struggle meal, you're going to see thousands of posts of people literally trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents. 29% of Americans have now used a buy now, pay later, which is a version of consumer debt that it can be crushing. 29% of Americans have used buy now, pay later for essential items such as food at some point. The shutdown and the lies being told about the shutdown, I'm going to break down this hour. I've had a caller and Speaker Johnson have referred to page 54 of the Senate Democrats' plan, and that shows that they're trying to give health care to every person who's here on. Nope, that's a lie. I've pulled up the legislation. I'm going to break that down in the 5 o'clock hour. The only people that can solve the shutdown are the MAGAs, the ones in control of every branch of government, and they can do that by keeping health care affordable. It's pretty simple. We continue this discussion. On the other side, I get to the corruption in Qatar next. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. The bridge connecting Wisconsin to Iowa south of La Crosse will close permanently on October 20th. The Blackhawk Bridge, also known as the Lansing Bridge, is in the process of being replaced. The bridge, which was built 94 years ago, has been closed twice in the past 2 years for structural issues. Construction on its replacement began 2 years ago and is scheduled to open in 2027. In the meantime, the DOT will be providing free car ferries to cross the Mississippi River, while heavier truck traffic will need to use the posted detour through Prairie du Chien a half hour south. October is the start of high school football playoffs, and this season, for the first time, teams will qualify using a new system. Wisconsin Football Coaches Association President Brian Kaminsky said that the new system rewards you for beating good teams.
You're getting rewarded for beating good teams a little bit more than just saying, boy, if you have 4 wins, you're in the playoffs or whatever it might be. So now it's not only wins, but it's quality wins.
Kaminsky said that the plan was rapidly approved by the WIAA with strong support from coaches around the state.
We had great support by the coaches, right? We had over 400 out of 420 head coaches respond. And I think it was like 88-89% of the coaches were all in favor of this.
The 8-player playoff bracket was announced last Saturday, with the 11-player playoff bracket to be announced this Saturday. In addition to figuring out who makes the playoffs, the new system also seeds each team and assigns them geographically between 4 regions, a process that used to be done in the past by humans with the aid of computer formulas. Teams also know which division they are playing in at the start of the season. In the past, the divisions were set by dividing the qualifying teams equally between divisions the day after the regular season ended. You can see the playoff qualifying report for football and details on the new playoff qualification system on the WIAA website. You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now from your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. John Candy's family still has trouble watching one of his biggest hits. Candy was self-conscious about his weight throughout his career and did not like the mud wrestling scene in Stripes. Candy passed away in 1994. He insisted on wearing a shirt throughout the entire scene due to his modesty, despite being encouraged to take it off by other filmmakers and cast. You can learn more about what made one of the most beloved Hollywood icons tick in the documentary John Candy, I Like Me, which dropped Friday, October 10th on Prime. When the live-action version of Snow White failed at the box office, Disney got cold feet and halted production on the live version of Tangled. Now it appears the production is back on and has its sights set on Scarlett Johansson for the role of Mother Gothel. There is no word yet on who will play Rapunzel or Flynn Rider or any other cast for that matter. Michael Gracie, who directed The Greatest Showman, will head up the project. You had me at Scarlett Johansson. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy for tonight, a low in the mid-40s. For tomorrow, more clouds around, a shower or two possible as well, and cooler, a high in the low 60s. Wednesday looks mostly cloudy, with a few sunny breaks and a high pretty close to 60. It's 69 degrees right now.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety, because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Oh, this is Robert Pilot of Nativerts Radio.
On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, we'll get a live update from Capitol Hill from Courier Newsroom's Cam Stevenson on any signs of progress in ending the federal government shutdown.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Yep. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We now have Tom Paulsiewicz with us for the remainder of the show, as well as each and every one of you. Tom, of course, was a very regular contributor on my program. He's run for Congress twice in Waukesha County. He lost, but each race, he made significant inroads into what used to be a ruby red county. It's not anymore. In fact, those particular pockets of Waukesha County were one of the only areas in the state of Wisconsin that actually drifted blue in the last election cycle, which tells you a little bit what's going on here. Tommy, here's my thesis. I think that we saw that drift in those pockets of Waukesha County. In other words, a drift towards Kamala Harris, a drift blue, when almost everywhere else in the state went further more right when compared to the 2020 election. I think they did that we see that for a couple of reasons. But one of them I've always thought is that folks, conservative, good faith conservatives and Republicans don't like the Donald Trump terror of tariffs and the flippity floppity. And they don't like what is obvious to anyone if you just take off the rose-colored glasses, and that's Donald Trump's monetization of the presidency for him and his buddies, the literally out loud corruption. They know that that's really bad for our system. And I think also January 6th, that, you know, when you hook people up to the truth machine, right, you ask them what happened on January 6th, you can't deny what your own eyes have seen, right? I think those three things had meaning for folks in the congressional district and beyond that you ran in before. Do you think the corruption is as big of a piece of it as I might think it may be?
I think it's part of it. I think it's a bigger picture, though, at least to me. I think people, one, especially in Waukesha County, and I live in Brookfield, I think integrity is key. I think competency is key, and they actually want to see people who work across the aisle and get things done. And Donald Trump is not any of those three. So I think there's a lot of people, especially on the Republican side, who've been saying we just can't vote there, and have either not voted or, in a lot of instances, voted for Democrats, especially here in the Brookfield area. I mean, our neighborhood right now, I would say, is probably tipping over 50-50 at this point. And I think it's one of those things that if you look across what's happening in the entire country, those three things, right? Integrity, competency, and just wanting to make sure you work across the aisle to solve things becomes more and more important. And I think we're going to see that in the next election.
It's really a moment. And I thought it was a moment back in November when I saw it was the one sort of, oh, wow, those Waukesha folks, maybe they are wanting to see the truth for what it is. We got a comment from Connie from Madison on our text line. Maggie mentioned how some nearly $200 million in a short time. Obviously, my thesis is they got tipped off that Donald Trump was going to put 100% tariff on all goods from China that is in addition to pre-existing tariffs. They ended up shorting basically the markets overall and some specific investments. They made $192 million. I know there's been social media chatter that it is Barron Trump. That's unconfirmed. I don't know if it ever can be confirmed. Sometimes you can tell who's running certain crypto accounts. simply if you swim in those waters a long time, because you end up knowing the financial press report on X, Y, and Z. Known, typically institutional investor is doing something in crypto, and so they can tie out the accounts, but those are unconfirmed accounts. It could be Barron, it could be Eric, it could be Don Jr., it could be Donald himself, who knows, or it could be Putin or anybody else that Donald Trump decides to give a little heads up to. That's part of the problem. And the interesting thing is, on these China tariffs, Donald Trump was flip-flopping before the end, before the clock struck midnight, over the weekend, the end of the weekend, to back off of the stance that he took on Friday. He posted this yesterday on Truth Social. Don't worry about China. It'll all be fine. Highly respected President Xi just had a bad moment. He doesn't want depression for his country, and neither do I. The USA wants to help China, not hurt it. What? You just can't
take
this
stuff up. Enough for a taco.
It's good. That counts as a taco Trump right there. That is a taco Trump. And the Chinese Commerce Ministry, we do not want a tariff war, but we are not afraid of one. If the U.S. side obstinately insists on its practice, China will be sure to resolutely take corresponding measures to safeguard its legitimate rights and interests, including rare earth elements, which China has a lot of that we don't have much of at all. Those are used in laptops, all EVs, jet engines, military technologies, radar systems, and it goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
It's pretty shocking. It's pretty shocking. And all of that, I think, may have drowned out what was an even more egregious taco Trump about the nation of Qatar. We've got some sound on this, but I want to take care of some folks on the phone lines. If you want to join Tom Paulswitz and I, it is Monday Sound Off. You can talk about whatever you want. Tom and I will follow you wherever your heart may lead us. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Jeannie from Eau Claire, how are you? What you got for us?
Well, great show as usual. I love all the guests that you have. Outstanding. I'm glad you brought up Qatar, because I've been watching live all the things going on, and it's like, how can people not be concerned and not want a clean house here? But anyhow, this Qatar airport in Idaho, something about that came over, and I thought, what in the you-know-what H-E-double toothpick is going on here? I mean, you know, buddies with Putin, not doing anything to help, you know, the people over there who are getting bombed there almost every day. And, you know, all the things he's involved in except for the United States. Oh, that's right. He's involved. He's beating on the people. He's taking away their health care, food, anything he can, you know. So I hope people really look as he goes for that peace prize of how in the devil they're being treated every day by the guy that's supposed to be caring about them.
Thanks so much, Jeannie. The interesting thing about the Nobel Peace Prize is he's never getting it. Just Mark, everybody take a note right now. It's 4:42 p.m. and 50 seconds on this October 13th Central Time. Maggie Dawn is saying this. Donald Trump is never getting the Nobel Peace Prize. No. And there's a lot of reasons for that, mostly because the Nobel Committee is basically free from bribery and corruption and influence peddling by Donald Trump. It's just never happening. Mark it down. Right. let's get into Qatar. Then I'm going to go back to the phones. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. If you want to be like Fred from Cottage Grove and be next up on the caller list, get in line now. So in Trump's first administration, he called Qatar a funder of terrorism at a very high level. Let's listen to Donald Trump talk about Qatar in 2017. Cut three.
The nation of Qatar, unfortunately, has historically been a funder of terrorism at a very high level. And in the wake of that conference, nations came together and spoke to me about confronting Qatar over its behavior.
Okay, so that's Donald Trump in 2017, Qatar has been a funder of terrorism at a very high level. Here is Trump today, specifically last week, talking about how great Qatar is. Cut six, please.
We are going to protect this country. We are going to protect this country. It's a very special place with a special royal family. And the head of the royal family is two heads of the royal family, really, if you think. Great people. And they're going to be protected by the United States of America.
Okay. And then this from Donald Trump's Secretary of Defense, also last week. Cut four.
I'm also proud that today we're announcing or signing a letter of acceptance to build a Qatari Emiri Air Force facility at the Mountain Home Air Base in Idaho. The location will be host a contingent of Qatari F-15s and pilots to enhance our combined training, increase lethality, interoperability. It's just another example of our partnership. And I hope you know, Your Excellency, that you can count on us.
Trump in 17, Qatar has been a funder of terrorism at a very high level. Trump last week, we're going to protect this country. It's a very special place. And Hegseth, you can count on us. Build a Qatari Air Force facility in Utah. This isn't a U.S. domestic airline that Qatar just got a contract to build. This is the Qatari military, a, quote, funder of terrorism at a very high level that's now going to have some of their Air Force in Utah? What? Excuse me, in Idaho? Thank you, Jacob.
Idaho.
My right. Technical producer. What? Oh, my gosh. None of this makes any sense, Tom and listeners, until you know this. Back in May of this year, brand new $5.5 billion beachside golf course and development is going in where it was approved, and it is now, I think they're about to break ground. Where is it, everybody? Together?
Qatar.
So Donald Trump gets a $5.5 billion beachside golf course and development in Qatar, and in exchange, a country that Donald Trump said in 2017 is a, quote, funder of terrorism at a very high level, end quote. They now get an Air Force base in, not Utah, folks, Idaho. My goodness.
But Maggie, you're surprised by this when this is strictly a real estate deal, which is what our president is very fond of doing.
Truly shocking. How long is, I think the Kushner cut is a little long. We're going to hold that until we get onto the other side. Fred from Cottage Grove is going to be the first up in our caller list to respond to this, ask whatever he wants to ask or comment on, because it is Sound Off Monday, 855-752-4242-855-75-CIVIC. We do have time, just to remind everyone, Andrew Cuomo asked Eric Trump about these many, many conflicts of interest. And just like the president, vice president, every MAGA that I know, Mike Johnson, and everybody in between, Eric Trump refused to address the pay-to-play conflict of interest implications. Let's take a quick listen to this before we got to take care of some messages. Cut 40, if you will.
My question for you is, you know what the climate is.
Yeah.
Why would you put yourself in a situation where you get involved with crypto and have the UAE as one of your big customers, and then they get AI clearance for chips from the US government? You know how that's going to look. You know what's going to happen.
That can't be a serious question. I mean,
but
Chris,
Eric, why put your family in the position? That's all.
It can't be a serious question. No, it's the question. It's the question about Qatar. It's the question about UAE. It's the question about Jared Kushner and running a new hedge fund for Saudi Arabia's sovereign wealth fund. These are all areas of the world. By the way, that UAE chip deal, that was, again, a pay-to-play. This is Donald Trump with the $2 billion stable coin transaction over there. We're going to listen to what Jared Kushner has also said about Gaza and development when we come back on the other side.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. October 15th, a pivotal case in the future of the Voting Rights Act will be heard in the U.S. Supreme Court. It pits the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause against 60 years of court precedent and the 15th Amendment. Voting rights protections for minority Americans are at stake. Since 2013, the Roberts Court has struck down the VRA's preclearance oversight of discriminatory states and last year made it harder for minority voters to prove racial gerrymandering. Now, the VRA's protections from racial gerrymandering could be eliminated entirely. Louisiana v. Calais is a continuation of a racial gerrymandering case for which lower courts mandated two majority-minority congressional districts under Section 2. Louisiana's population is 33% African American, but as of 2022, in only one congressional district out of six could black voters have a realistic chance of electing a candidate of their choice. Quote, non-African American voters claim the majority-minority districts discriminate against them under the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. The state of Louisiana argues that race-based redistricting, including under the Voting Rights Act, is therefore unconstitutional. We'll discuss the 14th and 15th Amendments and the Equal Protection Clause in our next report. Oral arguments will be streamed beginning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. We have a link at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrix, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll, I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It's Sound Off Monday. I got a great friend of the show with me. He's sounding off. I'm getting his reaction to today's headlines. His name is Tom Paulswitz, two-time congressional candidate in Waukesha County, helped drag Waukesha to the left. He's also a Navy veteran on this, the 250th birthday of the Navy. Happy anniversary, Tom, and to all active Navy enlisted folks and retired folks and officers and non-commissioned off, all of the folks that have served in currently or served in, all of you. Happy anniversary to the Navy, Tom.
Thank you. Yeah, we were just talking. I was stationed in Idaho for a little while when I was going through nuclear power training. It boggles my mind to think about there's a country that's going to have a Air Force base in the middle of our country, and it wasn't brought up through Congress, wasn't brought up in the media, wasn't brought up anywhere. It's like, this is just going to happen, and we're all supposed to accept it. Crazy.
No, they signed some paperwork. Folks, if you're just joining us, yes, Donald Trump, after calling Qatar a, quote, funder of terrorism at a very high level in 2017, has now agreed to let that funder of terrorism at a very high level build their own Air Force base in Idaho. My goodness. Quite shocking. So that's Qatar. The United Arab Emirates, That's the country that gave Donald Trump the $400 million airplane without getting congressional approval, that Pam Bondi said was hunky-dory on what legal basis no one really knows, because she won't ask any congressional answer, any congressional oversight questions about that. That's the UAE. The UAE is also the place where there is this major crypto deal, where Donald Trump has a cryptocurrency that's being made up or created by this World Financial Incorporation that is beneficially owned by the Trump family. They're providing a stable coin cryptocurrency bridge for this massive billion-dollar UAE transaction. Yeah, that's UAE. And of course, then you've got Jared Kushner with his hand in the pocket, or maybe Saudi Arabia holding Kushner's puppet strings, managing, I think it's like $2 billion of Saudi Arabia's sovereign wealth fund. By the way, Jared Kushner has no experience at all running a hedge fund. None, zero, zippo, zilch. So just to refresh everyone's recollection, you got Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the UAE. Well, when you step back and you look at Yahoo Finance, Bloomberg, whatever, you look at the three most powerful countries in the Middle East as measured by oil reserves and GDP, guess what it is? Qatar, UAE, and Saudi Arabia.
Coincidence.
Funny, a quinky-dink. Let's take a couple of calls, and then I want to get this Jared Kushner sound in before we hit the top of the hour. Fred from Cottage Grove, thanks for your patience, sir. What you got for us? Say hi to Tom.
Thanks. Good afternoon. Fly Navy. I was Airedale in the Navy, too. But Qatar, they're an ally of China, and their relationship with China is getting stronger and stronger, according to the stuff I researched. And they're a member of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, Gulf Cooperation Council, OPEC, and the Council of Arab Economic Unity. Where's the media on this? They're saying, well, we've got other allies in our bases here, too. Yeah, but they're allies, Germany and Australia and everybody else. They're allies of us, not allies of China. Yeah. What's going on?
It is shocking, Fred. I am angry that the mainstream media isn't talking about this more, talking about the obvious conflicts of interest. Donald Trump not only got the plane from UAE, he's getting, in the Qatari instance, he's getting a $5.5 billion beachside golf course and development project. There's the pay to play. The Qatar gave him the $5.5 billion development project in May. It's October. They're getting an Air Force base. It's not they're building an American. No, Qatar will have a Middle East power that in 2017, Donald Trump called a funder of terrorism at the highest level. It's now going to have an Air Force base in Idaho. If I was an Idahoan, I'd be real ticked off, Ian, if you know what I'm saying. My goodness. Jack from Merrimack, say hello to Tom. What's your question or comment?
Hello, Tom. And this is the first time I have ever heard of, I know we train foreign troops. We train allied troops. We train people that are not... that aren't our enemies. We train these troops all the time, and we go there, their troops come here. But this is the first time I have ever heard of an actual base of a foreign country in the United States. We have them all over the world. I've never heard of it happening here the other way around.
Yeah, it's shocking. It's shocking. Before we run out of time, let's listen to this. Speaking of Jared Kushner, by the way, he and Saudi Arabia also just bought this massive video game producer. I'm sure they won't be scraping any of our data in their new games. Anyways, small potatoes. Listen to Jared Kushner, the guy that's in charge of the Gaza peace process, talk about what he wants to do with Gaza. Listen to this.
Gaza's waterfront property. It could be very valuable to if people would focus on kind of building up, livelihoods. You think about all the money that's gone into this tunnel network and into all the munitions, if that would have gone into education or innovation, what could have been done? And so I think that it's a little bit of an unfortunate situation there, but I think from Israel's perspective, I would do my best to move the people out and then clean it up. But I don't think that Israel has stated that they don't want the people to move back there afterward. I think that that I would try to do if I was Israel right now is I would just bulldoze something in the Negev. I would try to move people in there. I know that won't be the popular thing to do, but I think that that's a better option to do so you can go in and finish the job.
So he's going to develop Gaza after moving all the people out. You can't make it up. Yeah. The guy that's in charge of
he's a real estate developer. What an opportunity.
That's what he's talking about. Oh, yeah, I should probably mention education and some other things. But yeah, it's a good beachfront property like they've got in, I don't know, Qatar, that Donald Trump's slapping his name on. We're going to take care of a few messages. We'll be back. I'm going to be digging into the shutdown and the Republican campaign of lies. That
soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Joy and relief in Israel following the return of all 20 surviving hostages in Gaza, home after 738 days in captivity. President Trump addressing Israel's parliament and then traveled to Egypt to sign a peace deal declaring the war in Gaza is over. ABC's Mary Bruce says phase two of the plan includes disarming Hamas and the future of Gaza.
President Trump did not mention in any of his remarks here today, in either of his two major speeches, the future of a Palestinian state. Now, it is worth reminding that in his 20-point peace plan, it does state that this perhaps may pave the way for Palestinian statehood. But President Trump himself in recent days has not wanted to go that far.
Hundreds of Palestinian prisoners also released as part of the exchange returning to Gaza on buses today and to cheers. It's day 13 of the government shutdown. The Senate returns tomorrow to vote on another stopgap measure. Democrats and Republicans deadlocked over health care benefits. This is ABC News.